Doing mission has always been a challenge for the Church of Christ, even though that is at the heart of the gospel. The challenge comes as we ponder with many questions, and there are so many questions that we go over, we think over, we wrestle as we plan, or as we plan, as I said, or even think about doing missions. And some of those questions with which we as a church wrestle with, Church of Christ, is where do we go? How do we go if we are to go? To whom do we go? Why should we go? And when we go, what do we expect? These are some questions with which we have been wrestling with as a church across the globe. Whenever we start to plan a mission trip, these are some questions that pop up in our kids, or questions that even a mission committee wrestles with, sits and ponders days and nights with different meetings. Where do we go for the answers? Where do we get the responses? Is it from our church? Is it from the mission committee? Should they come up with the best plan, with the best approach, with the best method? Where do we go to? And the answer is, there's only one person. We go to Jesus. And if you open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 4, verses 16, we are led by the greatest missionary who left us, in the beautiful words of Philippians, who left the heavens and his glory, who humbled himself to come and meet us where we are. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 19. This is the word of God. Luke 4, 16 to 19. And he came to Nazareth, speaking of Jesus, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom. And he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." This is the word of God. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before you with a humble heart, pleading that your Holy Spirit may teach us, may convict us, and may transform even our wills so that we may be empowered to obey your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is said in history that there was once a country when things were flourishing and things were bright. Even in the midst of that, life was very difficult. It was so difficult that whenever a family would get a glass of milk, the family had to share that glass of milk with every and each member of the family. Each member of the family had to taste some of that milk. And that was a luxury, to be able to have a glass of milk at home. So there came a time when, around that time, when war broke up in this country. And many of the children were lost. Parents were giving up their kids because it was difficult to maintain them. One nurse from the Rotary found one of these children. And when she saw the child, of course this child was hungry. He was starving. And immediately she took a glass of milk and gave it to him. And the child, being hungry, immediately took the glass of milk and began drinking it. Suddenly the child stopped and lowered the glass of milk and stared at the nurse and said, "How much should I drink?" The child was so used to sharing, and he could not have by himself a glass of milk. The nurse was moved to compassion, and she said, "Darling, it's all yours. You can have it." My fellow believers and brothers and sisters, how many people are starving in our world, not only physically, but also spiritually? There are so many that are finding different solutions with a sip of glass of milk, finding a bit of happiness, finding a bit of joy, finding a bit of hope in different things apart from Jesus. apart from the joy of the gospel, apart from the love of, that is shown on the cross. Our mission is, and the good news is, that there is hope, there is true love, there is a living hope, and that is only found in Jesus, with a human, for a fallen society, for a fallen humanity, fallen in sin and in misery. And this is what I want you to take home today. Because Jesus has come, there is good news for a broken world. Because Jesus has come, this good news has sounded in our ears, in our hearts. And because Jesus has come, we have found a living hope. And that is at the heart of missions. That is at the heart of what Christ has entrusted to his church, he being the head. Jesus has entrusted the good news to us. As we have received, so we have been commissioned to share. As much as we have been forgiven, so much we have been sent out to proclaim the gospel of forgiveness to a fallen world, so that relationships may be restored, so that God may draw more people to himself through the message that the church proclaims. And we start with the questions. When we look at the passage that we have in front of us, Jesus, the greatest evangelist, the greatest missionary, who came down from heaven to be among us, Emmanuel, gives us a pattern and speaks to us this morning. Where do we start doing missions? Where do we begin? Jesus gives us an example. And if you look in your Bibles in verses 14 and 15, he says, "And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout all the surrounding district. And he began teaching and in their synagogues and was praised by all." What pattern do we learn from Christ there in his earthly ministry, so that we could follow behind him? The verses tell us that when he came to Galilee, the northern district, he ministered as he went. And verse 20, and further down, it tells us that he ministered in different towns, Capernaum. And then he came to Nazareth, where he grew up. So what scripture tells us is that Jesus ministered and did missions as he went. And that is what Matthew 28 tells us. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them what all I have taught you." And when we look at the original words, it doesn't say plan a date when you go, set a time apart when you go. But the concept is as we go. What does that mean? As we live each day. And that's the example that Jesus gives us. As he was traveling, as he was going, he was doing mission. As he was going, as he was walking, he was reaching out to people. So where do we start? We start as we live each day in our neighborhood. We start as we live each day in our work, in our workplaces. We start and we keep on going when God calls us to go abroad, when God calls us to go overseas, as we go, as we live. And Jesus gives us a pattern. When he came to Nazareth, where he was born, where he lived, where he grew up, he also ministered there. He also reached out to his people there. So I encourage you, when we think about missions, it starts right around us. It starts within us. As Christ has come to us, we begin reaching out to others. We begin overflowing to others. So when God calls us to go over abroad, to go overseas, he has trained us. He has prepared us right in our house, right in our neighborhood, right in our working place. So where do we start? We start immediately. As we embrace the gospel of grace, as Christ enlightens our mind, as he comes near us, he calls us. And we as a church respond to his calling every day. So we as his disciples, we carry this message every day, not only in words, but also in deeds. As we go, I encourage our church that we do missions. We reach out to others. That is the beautiful good news, that God has prepared us and he has entrusted this message. And he has entrusted this gospel to us, that as we go, as we speak, as we work, it shines through us. We are the light of the world. Our second point is, how do we go? If we follow the narratives of the Gospels, the four Gospels, we see that Jesus went. And how did he go? He was born. He grew up. He encountered many trials. And he was even tempted at the start of his ministry. Just after he was baptized. Just after he was confirmed as the Son of God. He was taken into the desert. And he had been fasting and praying for 40 days. He was in great physical needs. He was out there in difficult circumstances, empowered by the Spirit, but in great physical needs. And we would say that is not the best conditions to do missions. That is not the best circumstances to do missions. And sometimes we focus on our circumstances. Sometimes we focus on what we don't have. Sometimes we focus on what we need. Those are real needs. And we must think about them. But the pattern that Christ has given us and the pattern that he lived for us is very clear. We don't focus on the circumstances. We do plan. We do take care. There are countries and there are places that are, of course, risky and dangerous. But when we think of the Son of God coming down and the way he was received, there's only one power that will enable us as to how we can go. And that's when Jesus was baptized. The narrative tells us that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in the form of a dove. He was empowered by God. He was empowered by the third person of the Trinity. He was empowered by the Spirit. So how did he go? How did he face the circumstances? It was through the power of the Spirit. He was divinely appointed. And the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. My fellow believers, missions can be challenging and can be difficult. Reaching out to our relatives, to our immediate relatives, is challenging. And further down, Jesus says it. Reaching out to people that are bound by sin is impossible for us. There's only one power that can release them, and that's the power of the Spirit that can regenerate them, can bring them back to life. And that's what Paul reminded the Ephesians, the church in Ephesus. Once you were there, dead in your sins and trespasses, but now you have life. And that's the church of Christ. We are reminded who we were. Not to fall into depression, but to burst in worship and in adoration as to how God has called us. So we should go. We are not going by ourselves, but we're going through the power of the Spirit. And Jesus reminded us in the Gospel of John. And he said, without me, you can do nothing. That doesn't mean we cannot do good works, but works of God that he has prepared beforehand can only be done through the power of the Spirit. So we praise God. We praise our Lord Jesus that he said, I have to go so that he could come, so that the Father would send him, because we as a church need the presence of a risen Christ. And the presence of a risen Christ is through his Spirit. That's the good news. Where do we start? We start as the Spirit of God gives us life. How do we go? Through the power of the Spirit. And that's how Jesus went. And our third point is, to whom do we go? And the gospel is clear. When Jesus read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, quoting it in the evangelist Luke, he says, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me, and there he says, to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of our Lord. Jesus later said, I came to the last sheep of Israel, and there is where he sent first his disciples, two by two, to the last sheep of Israel. And then he spread the gospel to others. And the gospels are full of examples as how Jesus reached out to Gentiles as well, the Samaritan woman, the Syrophoenician, the centurions, and there are many others, looking that the gospel doesn't come to us and stay with us. Jesus doesn't come to us, abide in us, and doesn't act within us. It prompts us, as we will see later, to reach out to others, to reach out to the Gentiles. We are now a people, as Paul said to the Ephesians. You once were not a people. That's not to point fingers at them, but to remind them that without Christ we are nothing. Because of Christ, we should rejoice. Because of Christ, we have been adopted as children of God, and He has given us His name, that great privilege, to remind us that there are others that God is calling to Himself. We need to go. And He gives us a list. And we know this from experience. As we relate with different people, diverse cultures, this is right across the globe. When we read at those, the poor, the oppressed, the captives, the prisoners, the blind, that is right across cultures. People living in different circumstances. Good news to the poor. God in the Old Testament had always cared for the poor. There are different laws in the Old Testament where God catered for the poor, providing for their needs, for their basic needs. Freedom of the prisoner, for the prisoners. Throughout the Old Testament, God had delivered His people from their enemies. And in Jesus' ministry, when He was announced by the angels, His name would be Jesus, because He will save His people from their sin. The greatest freedom that we could ever have. To the blind, Jesus' ministry, opening the eyes of the blind. To release the oppressed, the Israel knew what this meant when Jesus read it. They were released from slavery, being under the yoke of Pharaoh for over 400 years, being released by the mighty hand of God. So they know, being released from captivity, being under 70 years in captivity, under Babylon, under Persia, God moving the heart of Cyrus to decree that all the Jews go back and rebuild the temple. God is moving missions. God is behind missions. God is reaching out to a fallen world. And wherever we go, through different families across cultures, we see people oppressed, blinded by sin, oppressed by different habits that destroy them physically and destroy their loved one as well. There is good news for a fallen world. We go to them. We reach out to them. Because Jesus has come and He has given us a pattern. And we as His followers follow that same pattern. The fourth point is, why do we go? What is the great motivator that compels us to go? And verse 19 tells us, when Jesus read, to proclaim the, according to this translation, a favorable year of the Lord. Others say the year of Jubilee. We go because as we go, we do missions. As we go, we reach out. But as we go, we celebrate. As we go means we go celebrating. We go rejoicing. We go celebrating in the wonderful provisions of our Lord in our land. In the Jewish law, every 50 years was a year of jubilee, a year of rejoicing. What is that? What does that mean? That any land that was bought and was sold by poor people because they needed money or was mortgaged was returned to them. slaves that were sold themselves or had to enslave themselves because they owed somebody were released. Debts that were owed were canceled. The land was given rest. No planting was done. So it was a year of Jubilee, a year when people were released from debt, released from slavery, released also from different situations. It was a time when the whole land of Israel was rejoicing. Was rejoicing in the freedom that God had provided. A year of restoration. A year of freedom. A year of huge celebration in the whole land. And this is what we rejoice when we do missions. This is at the heart of missions, at even at our own hearts. As because Jesus has come, He has brought restoration. He makes things new. We go rejoicing in how He has given us, passed us from death to life, from darkness to light, from hopelessness to hope. So we go celebrating of the mighty work that God has done us, the way He has redeemed us, the way He has rescued us, the way He has purchased our salvation. So as we go, as we reach out to others, we go out with a joyful heart. We go out with a content heart. That is the greatest motivator behind missions. What God has done in Christ for me. What God is doing in Christ within me. What Christ will be doing through Christ, by Christ, through me. May the joy of the Lord compel us to do missions. May the love of Christ compel us to reach out to others. And as we go celebrating. And again, I repeat this verse where Jesus, the author to the Hebrews, says, "For the joy set before Him, He endured the most difficult and the most challenging circumstances." We know as human that most of the time we focus on our trials. We focus on our circumstances, and they are real, and they can be distracting, and we can lose the joy of missions. We can lose the joy of reaching out to others because of what we are going through. So may this passage encourage us that Jesus, for the joy set before Him, what He was accomplishing for you and for me, set His eyes fixed to purchase our redemption. May the Holy Spirit empower us. May the Holy Spirit be the greatest motivator, so that nothing should distract us to fulfill God's mission, to reach out to a fallen world. And may nothing distract us of the joy that we have in our salvation. And my last point is, what do we expect? We go joyfully. We go in the power of the Spirit. We go motivated in our rejoicing. But what do we expect? Everything to work out pretty well. People to respond and embrace the gospel because of the joy that is seen in us. Because of how we endure difficult circumstances. Verse 22 tells us two responses that we can expect. "And all were speaking well of Him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from His lips. And they were saying, 'Is this not Joseph's son?'" Some were amazed at His teaching. Some liked what He was doing, the miracles. Some wished this man that was doing good miracles, good work, could just keep on doing it and reach out to their families. Because it's an immediate blessing. But this doesn't mean that they were believing in who He was. This doesn't mean that they were seeing who He really was. The Son of God. The Messiah who they had been expecting. And had been announced by the Old Testament. And my fellow believers, this sometimes can be discouraging. When we pour out our energies, when we pour out our resources, when we embrace people because we love them with the love of Christ, and we sometimes we see that they only like it. but they are not really believing it. May this not discourage us. At God's timing, God will show them that it's not the blessings in themselves, but the heart behind the blessings that's reaching out to them through the blessings as a means. And then the second reaction we see in verse 28, when Jesus spoke to them, and all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these words. That's a different reaction. People were furious. They were rejecting Jesus. And the Gospel of John says it clearly in the first chapter. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And we, as his followers, cannot expect better than our master. There will be opposition. There will be rejection. There will even be greater danger. How many missionaries throughout history have lost their lives? How many missionaries? How many martyrs? And the hope is, as the book of Revelation says, that their blood is crying for the full redemption in the last day. So it's not a loss, but it's a gain. Even the death of Christ on the cross was not a loss, but the purchasing of our salvation. So the gospel will always bring opposition. The gospel will not always be embraced as it's always expected, but it will. And it's with that confidence that we go out. Not because of our circumstances, not because of our abilities, not because of what we can do, but because of what Christ has done for us. We reach out to others. And as he compels us, we will go. We mustn't go, but we will definitely go. Jesus walked out through the crowd because his time had not yet come. May we be encouraged. We may walk through difficult circumstances as we do missions, even at home or abroad. But God will walk us through as he walked his son through. Because he is fulfilling his purposes, even through our difficult times, even through rejections, even through limitations, even through needs. Because it's not our mission. Mission is about God. It's he doing and using us. And I finish with this. We are only instruments in the Redeemer's hand. He has showed us a pattern. May we follow behind him. And as his beloved children, may we reach out to a fallen world. So the question that we wrestle with, we find our answers in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that your word may continually speak to us, and that, O Holy Spirit, may continually convict us and compel us and humble us to reach out. May Holy Spirit empower us to be able to do the works that you have prepared beforehand for each one of us to walk. We pray that as we fulfill the Great Commission, we may do it joyfully, with a grateful heart, grateful to what Jesus has done for us. We pray that as we seek first your kingdom, we may trust in your provisions, in our health, in our safety, in our security, because he who has promised, he who has called, is faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.